Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL, sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
What's happening, Ken?
Everything's good. You?
I'm great.
No Phil today. You know why?
Because he's not here. Is he golfing?
I'm just kidding. I just like making the golf sound.
It's Sunday. He can golf if he wants to. He's earned it.
No, I think he's on vacation, actually.
Good for him.
So a well-deserved vacation. So we're going to jump into a couple of quick things. Ready? First, top of the news for me, anyway, is we have a TikTok account. Did you know that?
I know that. My neighbors see me on it, and they're like, what's up with that, Ed?
But it's cool.
All
of a sudden, I'm really into it. And so I was like, you know what? Look at it. Some of the little clips have, 1,000 views. Other ones have 75,000 views. So right. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna add them up. I literally sat there to add them up. We have almost 900,000 views.
That's amazing.
Isn't that, that seems like a lot to me.
So you might say that we're influencers?
We apparently are influencers now.
I wonder if I can get a deal with Gucci.
Or go to the Hamptons.
Yeah, I need some new shoes.
But listen, if you want to look at the TikTok account, it is The Worker's Mic powered by the NCL. That's the account. And I just feel like we should just get over 1 million, right? If we get 1 million views, I'm going to go like, hey, we have 1 million TikTok views.
We could ask for them. I mean, it's a lot easier than just saying something interesting that people want to watch.
That's
hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. So anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, check us out on TikTok.
Yeah, whatever. It was cool.
Tell your friends.
And yeah, thank you. Thank you, listeners. All right, we're going to go crank through some stuff, and then later we have Russ Keller, who is our credit guru.
Yeah.
Just really, really.
You got to listen to this. No matter what you do, I mean, he's an expert on credit.
Yeah, it's important.
He's got some interesting sort of things that you would never find out yourself, like you'd only learn it the hard way. So
yeah. Don't make the mistake. Avoid the mistakes. Right.
Right.
So we were talking. We've talked over the past couple of weeks about the garbage strike in Philly, and so that apparently is over. They actually went back to work, picked up garbage, et cetera, but they're voting as we speak, and I think the actual results will come tomorrow. But there's been some a bit of, I don't know what you call it, controversy, but the deal that they ultimately are voting on is basically the deal, I think, that was first offered by the city.
Really?
Yeah, 3% a year, a $1,500 signing bonus.
They hadn't gone on strike in a very long time.
40 years.
I feel like if you're going on strike after all that time, you got to make it count.
And didn't you say, Ed, you were listening to a podcast that, the hard right wingers?
There's a podcast that features some sort of right-leaning folks from Philadelphia that I listen into now and then. And they both just said these workers should be asking for way more.
That's what it was amazing. We said the same thing. So look, we actually agree with one another. But here's the reason I bring it up. What the city did smartly is they put a little tiny little bump here at the end of another step at 2%. Right. And what does that do? That gives you 5% if you're at that top step, right? You get your 3% plus another 2%. And guess how many people get that?
Half.
Half plus one.
Yeah.
Yes. So slightly over half. And apparently the union president is not happy with the deal and has voiced it. But it is a very simple divide and conquer play. And, you got to be careful when you have garbage men, refuse workers, sanitation workers in with dispatchers and various other groups that really don't have a lot in common. All they have to do is go, okay, who's got the bulk of the numbers? I'm going to throw an extra 2% and voila, the contract passes. And it's divisive and it doesn't make for good relations with the city. And quite frankly, it doesn't make for good relations within the union itself.
Well, it's a good point because there are unions that represent everything from nurses to forestry workers and everything in between. And folks who work in a certain job type should be in a bargaining unit that's that job type.
Yeah, for
sure. You can have all kinds of different people in a union.
Yeah.
But you know, lumping in people who have nothing to do with each other into the same bargaining unit.
Right.
Ultimately, it just it's an opportunity for an employer to kind of exploit you, or it doesn't you know, lend a lot of solidarity.
Yeah.
In some cases, I
say. And we're going to talk later about, you know, actually something that's going on in South Korea. And that will tie into this, but anyway, we'll report on the outcome of what the vote is. I personally hope they vote it down, but you know, then again, I don't work there, I don't live there, but you know,
there's even more trash than usual in Philadelphia. So I think the people are you talking about
Eagles fans?
What's that?
You're talking about the Eagles fans?
Go Birds!
Go Birds! All right, listen, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna banter a little bit more about some things that are going on in the news, and then after that we'll have Russ come in. Is that cool?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, no Phil. Coldplay concert. Don't go if you are cheating.
Or just don't go. Don't go to the Coldplay concerts.
You're going to be put on the jumbo.
I haven't seen TikTok videos of people like having a great time in Coldplay concerts.
It was unbelievable. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Coldplay, right?
They did the Kiss Cam.
I couldn't. Oh, no, they wasn't. Was it?
Well, yeah, I think that's what it was.
Oh, I put this couple on Jumbotron. It turns out that they were having an affair.
Yeah, they were a couple of married people who weren't married to each other.
So don't go to Coldplay concerts. All right, so you have a couple of interesting things, Ed. You want to talk about what happened in Massachusetts or Michigan, the double M?
Oh, man, it's a tough call, but I'm going to go Michigan.
Okay.
This week, they had a big plant. There's a company called SanDisk that manufactures hard drives, and they were planning to build a semiconductor factory, manufacturing facility, just outside of Flint, Michigan. Anybody who knows anything about the Midwest knows Flint, Michigan has been down on its luck for, two decades. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to get a semiconductor plant valued at $63 billion.
Wow.
Enormous, 10,000 jobs. It was like a 1,300-acre facility. But after the back and forth on the tariffs, SanDisk has announced that it, quote, will not move forward with plans to construct a semiconductor plant in Michigan or anywhere in the United States. So this, you know, you talk about trying to bring in foreign investment, whatever.
Sure.
The tariff thing just cost Flint, Michigan 10,000 jobs
plus all the state of Michigan, plus all the construction work.
Right. I mean, 10,000 people working in a semiconductor facility. Flint is the kind of town that could use those types of
jobs.
That
would literally turn the town around.
No question about it. So it's devastating. And for site preparation and, you know, all other kinds of preparation, the taxpayers in Michigan paid like $160 million.
Oh, they've already put money into it.
In prep work for this. And it sounds like that's lost. So Governor Whitmer up in Michigan is just beside herself.
Apoplectic.
Talking about the sort of economic unpredictability that's created by these tariffs or the back and forth on again, off again
tariffs.
Yeah.
Just come on, man.
Taco tariffs.
You're supposed to get, you know, the whole goal was to, you know, get. that's the Trump chickening out. You're supposed to get people to build here, right, and manufacture here. And what's happening, I think, is we're seeing the opposite. People are afraid, like, hey, we don't know what's going on, right? Are there going to be tariffs? Are not going to be tariffs? Do we have the parts? Do we have the materials? And so they're just putting everything on pause and or saying, you know what? I'm just going to build in Mexico and I'll cut my labor costs in, you know, a tenth or whatever it is. And that's what I'm going to do. And so, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's working so far.
No, not really. And I mean, the August 1st is the date that all these new tariffs are supposed to go into place, right? So it's being called like the day that America gets wealthy again. And
I'm not seeing that.
If there's additional tariff revenue that comes in to the government, this is a very simple question.
Yeah.
Who's paying that money?
We are.
American consumers.
Right. Listen, go around. I physically notice that prices are higher now.
Yeah.
It is what it is. All right, let's talk about Massachusetts, the other M.
Okay, in Massachusetts right now, they're having a big fight. They're trying to create a regulatory framework for driverless cabs.
Okay.
Right? Yep. So in Texas, in San Francisco, they have these Waymo, driverless taxis. So states have to enable, you know, regulation of these things. So they're fighting over it in Massachusetts right now. And the number came out that this would displace 70,000 workers. Wow. Now, these are Uber drivers, sure. Lyft drivers, 70,000 people, though. So it begs the question, and this goes back to, you know, years ago, there was Andrew Yang who came out talking about universal basic income where everybody gets a check.
Yes.
And people are like, this is insane. Why would anybody do this? But you go a little bit deeper and take a company like Waymo here, who is going to profit enormously by eliminating the cost of employing people, paying their benefits, all that kind of stuff. Just have a car that drives itself.
Right.
They're going to get rich on this. What about these 70,000 people? You take people out of jobs. I mean, these folks were already in the gig economy.
Yeah.
So you kick them out of that using technology. What happens? They're on unemployment. They're using the safety net for healthcare. People who are out of unemployment in these demographic groups have heightened levels of, let's say, substance abuse or domestic violence. Sure. These are all things that come with widespread unemployment and things that have to be taken care of by taxpayers using the government or the, you know, the former social safety net.
Right.
So it begs the question, and it's a good question, if a company is going to use, you know, robots or AI or driverless technology to make enormous profits and dump people onto the dole, you know, the publicly taxpayer-funded dole, don't they have some sort of obligation toward those people?
Well, here, they have a moral obligation. What does that mean to them? It means nothing. They have an obligation to, quote-unquote, their shareholders, which comes
to maximize capital,
first and foremost over everything. It's capitalism. It is capitalism on steroids right now, but that is capitalism. So what Andrew Yang said, and what I agree with, is that those companies that profit in that regard should have to pay into
a training fund
or whatever, or pay the people that you laid off. Give them money, right? I mean, you don't have to take all the money. And so if you're going to put 70,000 people on the street who are already, you know, kind of marginalized, right? Like you said, in the gig economy,
yeah.
Are you going to put them out of work? I mean, I think
where do they go next?
Well, here, and I think you know, you now are in the realm of government, right? Going, wait a second, this particular, you know, instance of capitalism is probably not in the best interest of our constituents, of our state, of our taxpayers, right? And so, you know, regulating these companies and or making them pay or whatever the case may be is something I think you have to do, right? You go to a place like Arizona, they're not going to regulate it.
Right.
They're just going to let it run rampant.
One of the suggestions from, I think it was a union organization out in Massachusetts, was that any driverless cab has to have a human operator in the cab. So it would be like somebody sitting shotgun watching the cab drive itself. Now, I don't know that I'd want to ride in the back of a car that just has some random dude sitting there not driving, just who knows what he's doing. But also, that's a really dangerous job if you're in, like, untested automated cabs. You're riding around in a robot.
You're literally riding shotgun.
Yeah.
Right? And you know why they call it shotgun? Because you get shotgunned out of the car. That's why they call it shotgun. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Yeah, because you get shotgunned out of the car because that is the death seat.
Wow.
You know, when a car, like, it gets into an accident. So, yeah,
anybody getting that job should be wearing a helmet. Maybe some of those leather goggles like the old sidecar guys.
Yeah. You know, but here's the other thing, right? Let's talk directly now. You know, forget about the company or convincing them to do the right thing, because that's unfortunately in our society, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Capitalism's not bad in general. Capitalism can be done badly.
It's being done really,
situations
really
with AI,
badly
it's being
right
done.
Now.
Yeah, people are being just taken advantage and discarded.
But if you are a Lyft user, Uber user, etc., just don't use Waymo. It's just that simple. I will never, ever get into a driverless cab ever. I'd rather walk.
Yeah,
just not going to happen. I will not be part of that. I won't go to self checkouts. Right. I still don't go to self checkouts.
Right.
I don't go to Walmart. You know, to the extent that I do what I can do. But if we all said, you know what, I'm not getting into a driverless cab, you know, then I think that ends the need for it.
Right.
If there's no demand, then it goes away.
I don't know. I mean, it's never really occurred to me that the country could just have a void where you're sorry, out of luck. We got nothing for you. But it seems like that's sort of the direction that things are have moved a little bit in the past month.
I wish the adults would get in the room and figure this out and fix it, because it's not going to work. It's going to implode on itself. It has to. I mean, it just all the AI stuff and like the Waymos of the world and whatnot, it's got to implode on itself, because when there's nobody left to A, purchase, you know, whatever it is that you're selling, then it has to just, your capitalism has to die in that regard. I think that if nobody has any money.
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
We live in a consumer economy. Yeah. People buy things. Right. People buy services. They buy goods. And if they don't have money, you can't buy things.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm no genius, Ken, as you know, and listeners, as you all certainly know, but this seems pretty simple.
It does. So we got another second here. I want to talk about something that ties into what we talked about earlier. And this is like really big picture. South Korea, right? Okay. South Korea, not North Korea, South Korea. They have a
good Korea.
Yeah, the good Korea. They have a nothing against North Koreans, just FYI.
Yeah, not the Koreans. Yeah.
They have a trade organization of unions, right? Union building trades, basically. 1.2 million people. They're talking about a general strike. Why? Not because of something that is going against them. They're pushing for some really pro legislation that will help them organize, help worker bees, stop companies from suing unions over strikes, things like that. So they're actually pushing forward and on the offense. And last time this happened, it got vetoed by the former president, prime minister, whatever they call him out there. But
what was his name?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. But the new prime minister happens to have been a worker bee, an industrial worker.
No kidding.
Yes. And has said, basically, if this gets passed parliament, I'm going to sign it. So here's the trades, right? Saying, all right, we're going to band together. 1.2 million, which is a ton of people anywhere, by the way, but especially in South Korea, they don't have a population the size of us, and they're banding together to push and get better working conditions, better laws on the books. So here we are in the United States. We're on the defense, always on defense, right? Yeah. They're laying off thousands of, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of federal workers, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to fight it out in court. But by the time they fight it out in court, they will have no more money because they're illegal.
Yeah.
Unions being illegal now.
The union hall will have turned into a Spirit Halloween store.
I really like that analogy. It's a horrible thing, but it is true. You know. And so I looked at the American Federation of Government Employees webpage, and you know, it's all this, you know, stuff, et cetera, doom and gloom a bit, obviously, and as well it should be, because they're kind of getting their clock cleaned right now. But there's like literally like a GoFundMe, you know, like donate to the, you know, national whatever it is.
Legal fund.
Yeah, something like that. And it's a shame that it has to get to that point. But it's also a shame they have 800,000 potential members and only 300,000 pay dues. So,
yeah, this is something that, time to solve this problem would have been 10 years ago organizing.
Absolutely. You got to internally organize. You have to have the money to, you know, fight for a rainy day fund or, you know, legal fees and, you know, all the stuff that's going on at the moment. So I think they're in a precarious position.
Yeah. We've got to take a break.
Yeah, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to have Russ Keller come in.
That's right.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Russ Keller.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Am I getting that right?
You got that right.
What's your title?
I'm the credit counselor at Union Legal Services.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing that?
I think about 7 years or more.
Since we started, yeah. Right? I mean, basically since the coalition started, you've been helping our members with credit repair and credit counseling, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's your background, Russ?
Academically, I have bachelor's and master's from University of Illinois Springfield.
Okay.
And I've been in credit in one form or another for close to 30 years. The last 12 years, I've been doing credit counseling and credit repair. For 13 years before that, I was a mortgage loan officer, did other things in credit before that.
You worked for a couple of the bureaus, didn't you?
I didn't work for the bureaus directly ever.
Okay.
But you're familiar with all the ins and outs.
Yes, and I'm certified by FICO. I'm a certified credit counselor with NACCC, National Association of Certified Credit Counselors. And so I have kind of a wide view of credit and
yeah.
what we can use to help the union members. What I do is kind of unusual because I get a wide range of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And my discussion with a union member usually starts, how can I help you?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Lately, I have been inundated with, I think, targeted social media for a company that claims to help union members get out of debt.
Oh, it's like I see it on Facebook and stuff. It's union debt assistance. Like, yeah. Hey, you're a union member.
So it's like a debt.
It's a debt settlement company.
Yes.
Okay. You'll destroy your credit score.
Yes. But I'm gonna be careful on how I explain this because I don't want to be disparaging on the good guys because there are a few good guys in that.
Yeah, I don't know whether these people are good, bad, or indifferent, but some of their advertising is like, being a union member finally pays off. about like reading the room. Like what a stupid thing to say.
Well,
what do these folks do? I'm not talking about these union whatever it is, because I think it's like some subsidiary of Bill Doctor.
Right.
Like there's all these like layers to it or whatever. So I'm not talking about them specifically, but in general, like what do these companies do?
Well, first of all, my biggest challenge with that type of company is disclosure.
Right.
Because as you just mentioned, they're going to trash your credit. And your credit is going to be in pretty bad shape for 3 to 5 years afterwards.
Got it.
Because what they want you to do is default on everything and then try to get those companies to come back to the table. You renegotiate the balances and they aren't really clear that your score is going to go down significantly, 100, 200 points.
And what do they do? Do they like intervene on your behalf and then take a piece of the savings, or how do they get paid?
Well, there's two different ways that one of those gets paid. There is a national association, and I can get you the information on that, but the ones that are in that association, your money actually that you pay them monthly goes into an FDIC-insured account, and that's all. Seems very above board, but still you're not paying your bills.
Right.
So if you're not paying your bills, then that's going to be major negative on your credit score.
Right.
And then they want to get them back to the table, and the more reputable ones will actually only get paid when they settle something.
Okay.
So when you settle something for less than the full balance, what that does to your credit score is that's another significant negative. So not only have you defaulted on credit cards and your score has dropped, but now you've settled for less than the full balance, and that drops it further. And that's going to damage your score, and that's really hard to recover from. I get people calling and say, well, how do I get these off my credit report? Well, creditors.
Wait.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's going to fix that. So there may be other options, and a lot of times people get into that because they're thinking, you know, I've got all these credit cards, and my rates are in the mid-20s now because of the economy and everything else. I'm not going to get political, but that's just where it is.
Yep.
And what do? I'm making payments, but there's no progress being made here. Well, one option is you can go to KC Martin over
MCL Credit Union.
At the credit union, see if you could get a bill consolidation loan, and you can put all of those underneath that. But perhaps if you are in that situation where you have that much credit card debt, maybe you've got a late payment here or there, your score is down a bit anyway, getting that bill consolidation loan may not work for you. I'm not going to make KC Martin and MCL Credit Union's decisions for them, but maybe you can or cannot do that. If you can do that, that's a good choice.
Sure.
If not, I have a nonprofit that I send people to that is not a debt settlement company, but they're a debt management company.
Okay.
Legally, they're different types of things. So debt management company will go to the credit card companies, get the rates down on a workout.
Right.
Now, those credit cards will get closed. Mm-hmm. The first thing that a lot of people think of, well, if you're closing all my credit cards, and I'm losing all the points that come from having credit cards. Maybe. because what I prefer to do if we can, and I'll give you an example of one union member, he had three credit cards, and all maxed out, $6,000, $6,000, and $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Took the two $6,000s, put them into a debt management plan, took the $1,200, left it out of the debt management plan. So the utilization calculation is now not based on all three that are maxed out. That one that we left out, that small one, he can pay that down on the side, and his credit score actually, by the time we were done splitting those credit cards in a debt management plan, split them in a DMP, his score went up.
Wow, how do you like that? See, like, this is in the weeds, but, you know, I think our members are obviously bright enough to follow along, that this is the type of stuff that we, working class, middle class, you know, poor, whatever, we have no idea about.
Well, right.
The rich have tax advisors and accountants and attorneys and CPAs, and they have all these folks at their disposal. And one of the benefits, I think, of being in the coalition, obviously, is, you know, the financial planners, Russ, legal services, Casey. You have people around you that mm-hmm. understand things that, to be blunt with you, have no business understanding.
And if you're just, if you've got that, you know, what, $13,200 that this guy had in debt, and you're on Facebook and you see, hey, union members, get out of debt. You have two ways that you can go. You can go the way where you default on all your credit cards and become such an unreliable borrower that the credit card companies are willing to take pennies on the dollar and your credit's destroyed.
Yep,
if you want
exactly.
a car, if you want a home, if you want to help your kid get to college, don't plan to do it for the next 5 years. Or there's another way to do it that doesn't destroy your credit. And the simple, you know, the separation between the two is, you know, who's making money and who's not. And it's hard to find, you know, it's hard to find reliable people in this field, but every member of the National Coalition of Labor has access to this through yes. Union Legal Services, has access to you, who's giving advice not based on you making money off of them, but
right.
just trying
yeah,
to find
the right
solution.
They don't pay me anything. And so
Nick doesn't pay you either.
Well, Nick pays me. Now you can always suggest that Nick pay me more.
Nick, pay him more.
Whatever you're getting paid, it's not enough.
Never enough
for the amount of people that you've helped over the past, even the past year or two.
So let's just talk about some of that, right? So people pick up the phone, and you'll do credit counseling or credit repair. What's the difference?
Well, the credit counseling is really helping them make some decisions. Things like what we just talked about, but other things from budgeting to which credit cards to choose, how do you start building credit, what things to avoid, maybe debt settlement. I'm not going to say never settle an account for less than full balance, but you ought to do it eyes wide open. Know what's going to happen to you.
Because if you're trying to buy a car and asking somebody to lend you money and they look at your credit report and say, oh, you paid this off, but for less than what you owed, they're not going to want to be in that boat themselves. It's going to be harder to get a loan.
Well, think about it. If you're financing automobiles and you're looking at somebody, well, the last three cars, you settled those for less than full balance. What makes me think you're going to pay me?
Yeah,
no kidding. Yeah.
You're what we call a high-risk borrower.
What do they say when somebody shows you who they are, believe them? Right?
Those kinds of things are important, and people say, well, why are there different credit scores? Well, there are different credit scores because what do car people care most about? Yes, they want you to pay everybody, but what they care most about, are you paying on the car?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, of course. So that's credit counseling.
That's credit counseling, helping them work through budgeting. You know, I've helped a lot of union members who are in a stressful or distressed situation. We need to figure out where the money's going and what thing. What toys that they bought that they can keep and what they can't keep.
You have that conversation?
Yes. I have some tough conversations, and I've said this before, but sometimes people get off the phone with me and they say, I don't like what this guy had to say.
Yeah, I get it.
But he told me the truth.
Yeah.
I just don't like the truth today.
Sometimes the answers aren't what you want them to be, but it just is what it is.
And so to your point, yeah, they can call me. We'll go through it. If we need to look at the credit report, we have a couple of resources where for a dollar we can get a good, clean copy of the credit report. We know what they've got and what they don't have. Often, more often than not, what they tell me is on the credit report is not totally what is or is not there. there's something else not there or is there, and we need to cover those things.
What about this thing? Oh, that? Oh, I didn't think it was important. You're trusting me. Russell, when I was a lawyer and preparing for, you know, arbitration, whatever, you know, I was a litany of questions, and then every once in a blue moon, I'd be like in an arbitration, and the attorney on the side would ask something, and my guy would just blurt out something, and during the break, I'm like, when were you going to tell me that? Oh, I didn't think that was pertinent.
Yeah. I didn't know they knew about that.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst. So,
and so we're seeing a lot of that with student loans today. I don't know if you've seen some of the stats. People will be listed as defaulter and delinquent on student loans.
Right.
Because they can't get jobs.
And
right?
Jobs have something to do with it. There's a lot of factors involved, but that's a lot of people who are seeing their credit scores drop 100 points.
Yeah.
And just boom, because student loans report at 90 days, yeah. Not 30 and 60.
Got it.
And so, and I just did a webinar for a mortgage company because they're panicking. They've got people out shopping for homes with student loans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so what about credit repair?
Credit repair is when you hire somebody to fix something for you on your credit report.
Okay.
Like write a letter to the credit bureau, that type of thing.
Write letters. And sometimes we may want to look at something and think that this warrants having an attorney letter.
Yeah.
And that happened, well, last year it was, 9% of the people I talked to.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Right.
Because most of the things can be done themselves. And you know, you can say, well, credit repair is changing things, and a lot of it is a DIY. You know, what do you say to the credit card company when you've got a late payment and it's a one of, and
sure.
And you call them up and you tell them you'd like to get a goodwill or a good faith adjustment, and they say no.
What do you do then?
Well, that I would change the person's language a little bit. Because the way the Fair Credit Reporting Act reads, they're going to say, if you make that phone call, well, sir, we'd really love to help you, but if we report, we have to report accurately. We cannot report you late if you're on time if you're late, and on it, it's a long explanation.
Okay.
But it starts with an if, because there is not a reporting requirement, but there's an accuracy requirement if they report. So what could we do then to improve the situation and make sure the bank stays out of trouble with FCRA, as well as you get that late payment off of your credit report? Well, we could have a no report in that month. Or months. You know, my mother died, or mom was in the hospital, and this happened, and that happened. Whatever.
Right.
But you have to get to the right person. And what you have to ask for, here's the term that maybe out of this whole conversation that people are looking for, you can ask them to suppress reporting.
Interesting.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And so you get a no report versus a negative report, and yes, they can backdate it. I've seen that happen a number of times.
Okay.
And when they do that, it's vastly different credit score-wise. Mm-hmm. So you have a recent 30-day late, and boom, your score gets hit 50, 80 points
right
out of nowhere. And because maybe of a mistake, or mom was in the hospital,
sure.
or what have you, and let's have a little bit of heart, your difficulty with that is credit card issuers don't have to do it.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it.
Right.
And the first, maybe the second person you talk to doesn't have the authority to do it.
So by the time you get to the third person.
Third, fourth, fifth person. Sure. You got to get your way up the ladder ever so politely to get to the right person that will help you.
Yeah.
So you're a good guy to know, Russ. I mean, I feel like that piece of information alone could probably improve the lives of so many people out there listening.
What do you say? What do you call it again?
Suppress reporting. So yeah. Can it be done? Major credit card issuer had somebody that had a 30, 60, and 90-day late because he did a balance transfer and didn't realize he'd have $13 worth of interest left over.
Oh, wow.
And by the time he figured it out, his score dropped over 100 points.
Oh, my God.
Gets on the phone. He calls him. They suppress it.
Sure.
They credit him back the late fees.
Right.
And he pays his $13 worth of interest.
And then the report goes
And his score
up.
Goes yeah. right back yeah, up yeah, yeah. again. Had huh. somebody else send me an email back saying, thank you so much for that piece of advice because I called my credit union. Mm-hmm. They took the 30-day late off. My score went back up 80 points that I lost.
That's awesome.
But
these are all things that, look, at the end of the day, once again, our members, you know, aren't expected to know, but we have the resources to get them that information. If somebody wants to contact you, Russ, who do they call?
They can either call Union Legal Service, or they can call me directly at 312-771-4203.
Say it again.
312-771-4203.
And what's the number for Union Legal Services? It's 800-433-2099. 800-433-2099.
And these services are available to members of the National Coalition of Labor and their families.
Yeah.
And their families, right? I mean, it could be the member, it could be the spouse, it could be a kid under 26, right? Yeah.
Kid in college, he's got a question, what do I do credit-wise? And that actually is a good conversation for me to have. If there's a union member who has a child in college and you want them to get out of college and actually have a decent credit score,
right?
Let's have that conversation.
Yeah.
I can tell you my oldest got out of college with a 750 middle score.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And now, you know where daddy is, right? So that's, somebody engineered that for Rebecca.
I mean, you know, mine had 800, but don't worry about it.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Who's his guy? So if somebody calls and just wants to ask questions and understand this, it's a free service.
Yeah.
As a member of the NCL or their families, it's free. I mean, this is invaluable information, people. So if you're a union member and you're out there and you're just trying to understand this thing that's so hard to understand, you have a guy.
And you have resources, right? I mean, you have you have
the credit
attorneys,
union.
You have a credit union where the max interest rate is 14%.
You have financial advisors.
You had financial advisors through Megan Financial. I mean,
these things don't cost you anything.
All this in the realm of financial literacy once again, and putting money back in the members' coffers, right? Making sure that the credit's protected, making sure that they can pay off that car. They don't fly out over the skis, like you said, Russ, because I know I talked to him. It's like, well, I got a bass boat, and I got a summer home, and I have a jet ski.
And a sneaker collection.
And I also collect antiques, you know, like whatever it is. So.
Yeah.
Well, you also have some, you don't want to make the wrong moves with this stuff, and I have, if I can tell you, one union member who had bought a snowmobile and wasn't able to make payments on the snowmobile. And he's over talking to the credit union that lent him the money for the snowmobile.
Sure.
And he's knocking on their door, literally going in and saying, can you find my file? Because my new wife has told me that I have to clean up my credit. And they can't find the file. So finally he calls me. I'm not going to give you the end of the story because this would be revealing too much. But what do you do in that situation? It's on your report. When is it coming off the report? Will it fall off on its own? What do you do?
I don't know.
I call Russ.
Yeah.
We have those conversations as well.
Why can't we get the end of the story? What kind of story is that,
because
Russ? That's
Russ,
a story.
Russ bought a snowmobile at a very low price in the middle of the night.
No, actually, the bill went away.
If they don't keep records and they can't prove that it's a legitimate debt, they can't collect it from
Well, on those type of things, you also have to consider the statute of limitations.
There you go. See?
The new wife got a free snowmobile.
Or like you said, there's Russ on his way out.
It doesn't have to be winter.
I don't need a snowmobile.
Thing down, whacker.
No.
Sparks shooting out.
No, I don't need a snowmobile. But the point is, there's two things here that people confuse and think are the same. But they're different. How long can something stay on the credit report?
Right.
And how long can the company sue you for?
Yeah, okay, it makes sense. Yep.
Those are two different items. Yeah. So, Illinois, a credit card, they can sue you for 5 years.
Right.
Everything can stay on the credit report for 7.
Got it.
So you have this weird 2-year period where as long as they're reporting accurately, they can leave it on the credit report.
Okay. But we don't want to look. Our members don't want to get to that point. End of discussion. No.
You're there to help them.
Yeah.
Stop.
We got a role. Listen, Russ, I can't tell you how much we appreciate everything that you've done for the members and continue to do for the members. Really, really important to us. Give them your number one more time, your direct one.
312-771-4203.
All right. Thank you so much. We've been talking to Russ Keller. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN. We have two listeners of the week. We want to throw a shout out to Bob Shanahan. He is a retired Metra signalman from Local 183 of the Brotherhood of Railroad Signalmen. He was honored in Washington, I think, last week. He is a near and dear friend of the show, as he is Phil's father-in-law.
No way.
Yeah, so shout out to you, Bob Shanahan. Super congratulations.
Cool. Super cool. And then I got a text the other day from a former steward of mine, Steve P. He was a steward for Local 150, my steward, in Bartlett Public Works. Really, just a solid dude, and would stand in front of me when need be, and I always appreciated that. So shout out to Steve, and thanks for listening. So anyway, we got to go. We'll be back next week, right? More of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.